Are we recording?
Yes, we are. Hey. Welcome to Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is episode 5, Comic Reviews. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And this week we're going to talk about the new DCU titles, the first 13, including the one that started it all. And probably talk about Flashpoint a little bit. All that good stuff. Hopefully everybody's read that already.
So. Yeah, this is going to be a spoiler-filled, so apologies. If you haven't read any of the 13 or Justice League or Flashpoint, either wait on this episode or deal.
Yep.
Those are your two choices.
So, start off. We'll start off with Flashpoint.
Sure. Sure. I don't have it in front of me, but I think I can talk pretty intelligently on it.
I got
an overview.
I just looked over and there's my copy sitting right there. So, well, I have to say, and a lot of people have probably agreed, this kind of felt really rushed to get it all wrapped up.
Wasn't it originally supposed to be 6 issues? I think.
You know, I'm thinking so, and they changed that a lot. So. Overall, I liked the ending. The 2-page spread that they hyped about, supposed to explain everything, didn't really to me.
I agree. I think it was intended for. They said it was intended for those of us who had been reading comics for the DC stuff for a while, and that it would help us transition from the quote unquote old DCU to this new DCU. And
I
could have left or took it. It was pretty to look at.
Yeah, and, you know, and I've been reading DC stuff since, well, before I could read, so, and I had to read it 2 or 3 times to understand it. And, you know, where the hell is that hooded chick come from?
Well, clearly the next event.
Yes, which we'll get into that, because she shows up everywhere. And if you've read any of the news, she's going to show up, and she has shown up in all the ones that come out this last week, and is going to be in every single one at one point or another. So.
And to that point, real quick, just a side note, I put a link on our Facebook page, Comic Vine. There's somebody on there has been tracking her appearances. And obviously there's been the 14 appearances so far between Justice League and then the new number ones that came out this last week. Other than getting a couple names wrong, that person posted the panels where she appears. So, kind of cool. For old schoolers, it was very reminiscent of, in a way, of the Monitor kind of popping up in their pre-crisis.
Very reminiscent of that.
And for new people, hey, just know that. That as much as they're aiming these new books for new readers, that they are including some Easter eggs in there for us old schoolers.
But overall, if you're starting this new thing, and I know a couple that had asked about it because it's still not available online. just Flashpoint 4 just recently came online. They had made it where it wasn't going to come out a month later. You really don't need to read it. In fact, if you haven't been in comics in a while, it's probably going to confuse you more. So I would just skip it.
Agreed.
Make a clean break. Now, the other thing I want to comment is, and I saw this a lot on the comic forums, is this thing about at the end of Flashpoint, and of course, spoilers, is Bruce Wayne or / Batman tearing up after the note he got from Barry. I say... grow up, people. If you're, that's not Batman doesn't cry and all that other crap, give me a break. The man got a note from his dead father, the whole reason, and then, of course, some people say that wasn't Batman that cried, it was Bruce Wayne because he did take the cowl off. I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. Any normal human being, and I think that makes Batman more human. You'd see something like that, and we don't get to see but just snippets. We have no idea what it says. But it obviously got to him, if you see, because, I mean, he looks like he almost passes out when he reads it.
And, yeah, well, speaking to someone who just attended a memorial service for his father, and I'm not a crier. I'm really not. The only time I've cried to death was a cat that we had to put down a few years ago. I've had grandparents pass away, and now my dad pass away. We had a slide presentation going on behind everyone who was talking at the service, and I teared up. And that's just pictures, you know. And this again. It's a fictional character, we get it, but come on, you're right. He's Batman. Batman.
It's like, and, you know, any... I don't know. It just aggravates me to read some of the stuff. And, I mean, if you frequent the comic forums, you know what I'm talking about. They went on for like 3 or 4 days arguing about it, and it's just a little ridiculous if you ask me. I mean... If anybody deserved to cry over something like that, it would be him.
Oh, his whole purpose in life, for goodness sake.
He saw his family shot down in front of him, and then he gets a note from his father. You know, I mean, anyway, that's enough about that.
And just real quick, and then the point of the forums, and I know we'll cover this at some later podcast, but people who are new to comics, don't, you know, enjoy the comics for yourself. If you just want to get maybe some other insights into them and such, like what you're doing right now, listening to this podcast, great. But don't let the trolls scare you off.
Yeah, you know, if you want to come to forums that are brand spanking new, there's always our forums. So far, all that have signed up for it is me and Caleb and a bunch of spammers, which I have banned one at a time. So, you know, we can always talk there and start fresh or on the Facebook page. The Facebook page has got a lot of traffic on.
Yes, we do.
The membership keeps going up and up and down. I think, you know, you add people and maybe they might not necessarily want to be on there. So,
isn't there a way to invite? Oh, never mind. Facebook podcast.
We can talk about that later. But anyway,
Justice League number one.
Yes, and
it was a pretty book. It was good to look at.
Yeah. Now, okay. You want to start first?
Please. Yeah. Let me get my thoughts out there real quick. Okay. Again, it's a pretty book. It's an issue of Brave and Bold. Justice League number one came out 2 weeks ago, by the way.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be the introduction of the centerpiece for this new DC universe, starring the most iconic characters, well, quote unquote iconic characters from the DC universe. And this book was a team up between Batman and Green Lantern, with a brief appearance by Superman and a brief appearance by Victor Stone, not as Cyborg yet. This is five years ago.
And I'm really questioning the way they did that, because I'm not sure everybody would. I mean, if they're a brand new reader, they're not going to know who that was.
Vic Stone? Oh, absolutely not. No.
Only if they read, you know, the only thing they might pick it up is there's a black guy on the cover.
There you go.
I mean, that's it. So.
Yeah. Oh, and even then, I mean, there's other black kids in the scene.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that kid's
focus on him. I get that, but come on. It was again, Jim Lee's art, beautiful. Jeff Johns writes a really good script and really good dialogue. But as an introduction to this new universe, it was weak, from my opinion.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I really liked it. Don't get me wrong. The internet all back and forth, and I know one of the guys from our Facebook group, you know, wasn't worth the money. It was too short. And a lot of people that I read were expecting to see the entire Justice League in there, which those people never read any of the previews, because like the first 8 pages has been out for the public to see for months. So, you know, it's like you already read it. That was part of it that made it short for me, because like, okay, I've read this already, you know.
And that's, I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, they want to discourage piracy of their digital comics, but when they put out, you know, 8 pages of a 40 page, or not even 40 page, however long the story was, I mean, I mean, it's a good, you know, 25% of the book is already available for free. Mm-hmm. And then to say, okay, now we want you to pay $4 or, you know, to buy this digital book, or $4 to buy the paper copy, or $5 to buy both, whatever the price points were. They got to pick up the pace. I have to agree. Again, old school, I could see this as, you know, the next issue of Justice League.
But, I mean, if you really think about it, two of their most recent movies, who was in it? Yeah, right. Batman and Green Lantern.
Well, and Jonah Hex. Come on.
Well, yeah, I'm not counting that. But, I mean, that's the thing. Those are the most recognizable, I would think. And then they throw Superman in there, and everybody knows who Superman is. And might not know the details, but it was good. And my favorite part of the whole thing is when Batman takes the ring off of his finger. I just love that.
That was cool.
That I laughed for about 5 minutes after that. And, I mean, it's good, and we'll get to – now, I thought the one that came out last week was a lot better, would have been a lot better as the first issue to show everybody, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. So, okay. But, yeah, I liked it. It could have been better. But anyway.
Well, and again, if you – I mean – This is going to be a good trade paperback. I really think it is. You know, maybe after this initial, what is it, 6 issues or 5 issue story arc, and it moves into the present.
Yeah.
With whoever the new artist is going to be.
Right.
Because I doubt Jim Lee's gonna make after 6 issues, to be honest with you. But then we'll get this set in the DC universe, or maybe it's 12 issues. Maybe this is another one of those 12. But it's still – it'll be –
Well, they say they're not writing for the trade anymore. But.
Ha! I'm sorry. I mean – oh, good.
Yeah.
I believe them.
Yeah. Well, we have to see, you know.
Sure. When they write an issue like this, knowing it's part of an arc, mm-hmm. this is at least drawn. It's whatever. I of all their initiatives, that's the one I'm the most skeptical about.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like the timeliness. I like the day and date stuff. Mm-hmm. But that they're gonna not make right for the trade. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Well, I mean, they made a big deal about that in several of the things, but whatever. But anyway,
I would say for new readers like Flashpoint number 5, this is a skip.
Really?
Genuinely, I would. I had picked up 3 copies of this. And I felt a little awkward giving them to people who I had intended to give them to. There's books that we're going to talk about this up in a minute or so here that I would feel great about giving to those people, and I'm going to have to go buy new copies. But this I would not. I now have 3 copies sitting on my desk.
Right. I had my wife read it, and she said it was okay. So, which, you know, coming from a person that doesn't really care for comics, that's – you know, not good. But I give it 3 out of 5 long boxes is what I give it.
I give it a solid 3. Yeah. No doubt. The question I'd like to know with your wife, and when you get a chance to ask her, would she come back for a number 2 after reading that number 1?
If I asked her to, she probably would, but.
But would she ask you, hey, Chris,
no.
You got number 2 yet?
No, she wouldn't. I don't think so.
Thunder just crashed around our house.
Oh, okay. But no, I don't think so.
Then they failed.
I think so. I really – that's like I said on Twitter the other day. I think I posted on Facebook. Their biggest mistake is having this one be the first one.
Yep.
And the one I thought was better we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You want to move into this week or I'm ready to move into this week.
Yeah, we can do it. You want to do it alphabetical?
Yeah, works for me.
All right, let me get mine out. All right, first one. Action Comics number 1. You want to start?
Sure. Well, let me first of all let you know I have an extreme bias against Grant Morrison, who wrote this book. So, right. But I gave it 3.5 out of 5. It was fun. A bit confusing at parts. But the solid characterization. I now know who this Superman from 5 years ago is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Clark Kent yet. That's for certain. He hasn't put on his Clark Kent glasses in this, which is fine.
Oh, he does.
Well, but I mean, if the Clark Kent, you know, the you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, he isn't really playing that up yet. You're right.
Yeah, which is fine because this is Action Comics, mm-hmm. Good imagery. The art was nice. I really enjoyed it. Again, there was a couple confusion. The dialogue was a little confusing at parts, as witnessed by the uproar over one stupid little word balloon.
Well, I don't want to get into that.
No, let's not. Bad. But that's how Morrison writes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to. This is one of those ones I need to go out and get a couple more copies of, mm-hmm. whether it's second printing or third printing, whatever, to give to people. I would be, even though I only gave it 3.5. I can imagine someone saying, hey, I want to see what happens after that cliffhanger mm-hmm. of an ending.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Yeah. Did you catch the Legion reference?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I didn't, until I saw on our Facebook thing that there was one. I missed it. Then I looked for it and found it after that. It was pretty easy.
Yeah.
But, well, as far as I'm concerned, I gave this a 4.5 out of 5
Ooh.
Myself. I absolutely loved it. The only reason it didn't is, like you said, some of the dialogue was confusing. I didn't know. There was a couple of, like, well, when he had that guy up over his head, what he said, it didn't make sense to me. And there was a couple other times it's like, huh? What are they? Well, like, how did he know that the train was going to do that? Back again, spoilers. But otherwise, I thought this was awesome. I was just floored by it.
Well, he's the smartest man. I mean, I will grant that, you know, this is how Grant Morrison has written Lex Luthor. He is always, and when he did his All-Star Superman, he was 3 steps ahead of everybody.
Well, what I was talking about is how did Clark know that the train was going to have a problem to warn Lois and Jimmy from getting on it?
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. That was never explained. I mean, that was vague. Yeah.
I mean, they're saying, you know, and whatever he called and told whoever – he got them to stop the trains, but by that time they were already on it. It was too late.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only thing I could figure is that the guy that he rattled and got him to quote unquote confess was he said he was used to shoddy labor and parts and so on and so forth. And that I didn't make the train connection with this guy. So I don't know. It was like there was a page missing a couple times. But as far as I'm concerned, this is what they should have started things with. And it would have made – and the fact that Action Comics was the very first DC comic, first superhero comic, that would have made even more sense. This is the one that they should have started things with.
Yep. And like I said, I'm getting – whether it's second, third printing, whatever – I'm getting extra copies, and I'm giving these to the people that I had originally intended on giving those Justice Leagues to.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe after mm-hmm. they've read, you know, this, the Action Comics, and one of the other books that we're going to be talking about in a couple minutes, when I get – hopefully I'm going to get some extra copies of that. After they've read those, maybe then I will give them the Justice Leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But, you know, yeah.
Justice League should have been like week 3, week 4 of this new
– I agree. And it wasn't worth the $3.99 extra for a couple of pages of sketches. No.
Yeah.
That's their biggest screw up, I think. mistake. I'll say a mistake. That they should this right here is what they should have started things with.
Yeah, with those extra pages, they should have gone what I've talked about with you in the mm-hmm. past, which is to do, you know, if they're going to charge the same for digital, make it worth it. Mm-hmm. Put those as extra bonus stuff for paying.
Right. Well, and then in a month, it's going to be a dollar cheaper, but still.
Yeah. Well,
That's what they should have. Action Comics number one, yeah, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. It definitely should have been the one that they opened things up with.
Yeah, and Murray, one of the guys, one of the people who gave us their opinion on all of these, Murray Fox of the Doom Pod Troll, if you like Doom Patrol, by the way, they do a good show. He and Scott Coles, he gave it a 4 out of 5, and he's not even a Superman fan.
Yep.
So he liked the attitude, and I think I skipped over that, but yeah, I liked Superman's attitude. I liked the general tone of the book.
Well, yeah, and he's a lot younger, you can tell, and I'm a big fan of Rags Morales' art, so that, I mean, that helped for me. And it's like you said, you're not, you know, not that big of a fan of Grant Morrison. To me, it's always a 50-50 with him. Either I read something and it's like I just don't get it, or I love it, and this is – I actually love it. So.
Well, I broke my rule. I said I would never buy another Grant Morrison superhero book again, and I will be buying this. After Final Crisis.
Yeah. That was so bad.
Yeah. No, I swore up and down I'd never buy another superhero. You know, there's other stuff he does which are non-superhero, but I'd never buy superhero stuff, and I'm going to have to break my vow. Animal Man. Holy crap.
Oh. Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to say that this is actually – because Justice League says 5 years ago. This is actually even before that.
Who is it? Okay.
Because you think about it. He doesn't have that armor on, and they show him in Justice League he's got the armor, the new costume.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't fly yet in Action Comics, but in Justice League he's flying.
That's right. He's still leaping. He's still doing his old
leaping.
School.
Yeah, exactly. Leap a tall building with a single bound thing.
So Siegel and Schuster, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, this is as close to the original as you could possibly get, I think.
Yeah, no, Siegel and Schuster had him. He was a leaper. He was, he could move planets. It was just stop a train.
Right.
et cetera.
The old voice.
You okay there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Anyway, Animal Man, on to that. You want to go ahead?
I would. One of my two favorite books of the week. 4.5 out of 5 on this one. Speaking of Grant Morrison, this is a worthy successor to the Animal Man series from the early Vertigo days, with the late 80s. Very odd. The character is a family man who's a superhero who has the ability to mimic animal powers, or animal, not powers, but animal abilities, you know, the tough hide of a rhinoceros, the flight of a bird, et cetera, et cetera. And he's an animal activist. He's a family. He's got two kids. And he's just a little off center from the regular superhero universe. And that's exactly how this book was written. The art was gorgeous. I loved it. Travel Foreman, I think, was the guy who drew it.
Yeah.
And Jeff Lemire, he sold it. I love this book. The only thing that was a detractor, there were a couple panels that were a little off for me art wise. Really, that was it. There was this great panel where he's approaching. There's a scene where there's a hostage crisis at a children's hospital, and he approaches the gunman. And Animal Man's costume is really not a costume. He just has like his headgear. He doesn't cover his face. But to make the guy feel more comfortable, he even takes that headgear off. Which I thought was a great touch.
Yeah, it is a good touch.
Enjoyed the hell out of it. Go ahead.
this is a one for me.
Oh.
I liked his character. I fell in love with the character. That was really my first long back in 52. And Jeff Lemire's writing, he was okay in Superboy. The writing's okay. The art just really, it just wasn't doing it for me. I think that's what ruined it for me, really. Well, you know, that's my opinion, but
No. That's what the point of this is.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be interested in this character, but I just don't think the art's just too off-putting to me. But that's pretty much it, as far as I was concerned.
If I knew somebody like Stephen King, this would be the comic I would give.
Yeah. Okay. That tells you right there, because I'm not a Stephen King fan at all.
There you go. Because all of his characters, his main characters are like everyday people who unfortunately just get sucked into just totally effed up situations, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how Jeff Lemire presented the main character, Animal Man, in this book. Was just a normal guy who just gets sucked into this just sideways world. And if you don't like Stephen King, which you said you don't.
Nope.
Yeah, you ain't. Yeah, yeah, it's not gonna work for you.
Yeah.
So.
Just not my thing.
So if you're a new reader and you're looking for something and you're a Stephen King fan, this is probably the book for you. If you don't like Stephen King, yeah, avoid this like the plague.
Yeah, that's a good assessment, I would say.
Okay. My biggest disappointment of the week came next, actually.
Well, what? Oh, we're gonna see what Murray said here.
Oh, Murray, right? But he 5 out of 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 long boxes there. So, how many? What did you? I'm sure it was a 5 for 5 for you too, right?
No, it was a 4.5 out of 5. I didn't get anything of 5 this week.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do any fives.
I'm a little easier on it then, I guess.
Yeah, but, no, again, there were a couple panels that mm-hmm. took it down just that notch, and I have a feeling that if they keep up, if the writing stays at this level on Animal Man, mm-hmm. if Travel Foreman or whoever does film, if they can one more little notch up, they'll get a 5 out of me.
Yeah, I can understand. All right.
So Murr loved it. He liked the art. He liked the writing. Mm-hmm. He's a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And probably like Stephen King.
Yeah. Okay, next up, Batgirl by Gail Simone.
This one, my biggest disappointment of the week. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. I had anticipated giving this a 4+. Mm-hmm. I found it boring in parts. The dialogue was strong. I thought Gail Simone, as always, did some great dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know. I just the best I can give it is an eh.
Yeah. Well, okay, for me, this was a 3.5 out of 5. I really liked it. Though I admit, there was, I don't know, the, I can't remember exactly. Well, I like how they didn't get rid of, and somebody made a comment on the comic forums, there's no mention of Oracle in here at all. So I was okay her being out of the chair, and, you know, the people that have read comics know she, you know, she's been in a wheelchair for, I don't know how many years, 20 years, whatever, and they've, you know, got her back in it. That's fine. And talking about being able to, you know, afford the apartment and everything, just, I don't know. I know they want to make the characters more relatable, but I think they want a little bit too far with it, maybe.
I missed the part that they didn't even mention Oracle. That went right past me.
Yeah, well, they said that she was in a wheelchair. She said, for 3 years, I couldn't walk. Because, you know, she wakes up, and there's even the flashback of where she got shot. And, you know, there is no mention of Oracle at all, the former life of Oracle.
I'm gonna leave the 2.5 on this one for now, but if they don't bring the Oracle story into this at some point, real quickly, a mention of it, I would even knock it down to 1.5.
Yeah, that was my biggest disappointment, and that's why I didn't get a 4 from me, is because of that. I like the costume, the art's good. bad guy's interesting.
The mirror, yes.
And there's other little things I can't put my finger on. I was a little disappointed in it, though. But anyway, this is the first issue, and I'll still get it because I have a few, you know, it'll get better. And who knows, they might fix that other stuff. So, but yeah, but the Oracle thing really bothered me. See, Batgirl from Murray, this is another hit. They didn't go too much into Curie, yeah. But he gave it a 4 out of 5. It says it's on his pull list.
Well, let me know if they, if at some point they mention what the miracle cure was.
That's got a lot of people talking.
I have anticipated that she would dump that right away, but she didn't. Gail Simone just completely. I mean, she glossed it, but there was a part of me thought she put that right up front. Get it off the table, but clearly she wants to do a longer story about that.
Yeah, and they said right out that you know that happened. We just don't, you know. But taking Oracle out of the equation, I don't think is a good idea.
Nope.
They just might not have been really an opportunity the way the script went to talk about it. So. She said she was in a chair for 3 years, but that's all that was mentioned. Everything else was left out. So, I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Next up is Batwing by Judd Winnick and Ben Oliver.
My second biggest surprise of the week. 3.5 out of 5
wow.
For me. I mean, I didn't anticipate I would like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the painted art in it. It's really pretty to look at, and it surprisingly flowed very well as a comic book, mm-hmm. which painted art doesn't always do. I like the setting. I'm a little skeptical that they'll be able to set in Africa, but they already have established that there's other heroes that mm-hmm. Judd Winnick created a whole team of heroes in this issue that were Africa's defenders. The script was okay. Judd Winnick didn't grab me with the script. But I was surprised. I turned the pages. I enjoyed looking at it. I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5, and it was the reason you liked it. You liked the art, and it kind of put me off a little bit. It wasn't as jarring as the what was an Animal Man, but to me. But otherwise, I liked it. And Judd Winnick usually does a good book, and he's more of a build up kind of guy. So I have a feeling this is one you'd have to read a few as it builds momentum. So. But it's
Murray despised this book.
Yes, he did.
I think he would have given it a 0 if he could have. He gave it a 1. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But I like how, and you know, they start off and he's fighting his Batwing, and then 6 weeks later, and it shows what happened in to him. So I was kind of wondering how he survived that. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm curious enough that I'll peek, you know, I'll check out the next issue. Maybe I'll even pick it up. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But this is another one where, you know, you said at the beginning of the of our discussion that they're not writing for the trade. These are not done in one.
Well, I didn't say they weren't collecting them. I mean, right. They weren't going to collect them, but they weren't making. What I read, Didio or DDO, or I never know how to pronounce his damn name, said was that they're not like trying to get the writers to do 6-issue arcs.
Oh, okay.
Like that. And if a storyline takes 10 issues, then, you know, they'll work out how to collect it from that.
Okay.
That's what I meant by that. You know.
Fair enough. So it could be a 2-issue story arc. It could be a 7-issue story
arc. Right. Exactly. And then they'll figure out how to collect those issues into a trade later on.
All right. Okay.
That's what they meant by that. So, because I mean, that's what you. If you look at the trades that come out, there's six issues each. You know, and that's
for the most part. Yeah.
That's what they're talking about. So.
Okay. Well. I'm intrigued enough by this. And you're right. I think that there's some points that Winnick, you know, intentionally said, hey, let's give some room for issue 2, issue 3, issue 4. You know, hell, issue 20 if he's lucky.
Well, I mean, they're not going to make the first issue done in one anyway.
Yeah.
Because they don't want people coming back. So.
True. One of my two bigger surprises on the positive side of the week.
Yeah.
Was Batwing.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Detective Comics number 1.
How this is not the most talked about book of the week, I am surprised. Or maybe it is. I'm just not reading the sites or something.
From what I've read, it's not.
Really? I get it 4 out of 5. The writing was strong.
Mm-hmm.
That last page. Holy moly, what are they thinking? How are they going to go forward with that character, that last page? You know, again, there's spoilers here, people. Remember, there's spoilers, but you know, that face hanging on the wall like that.
Oh yeah.
Great image.
Absolutely.
This is what, a T plus or a teen rating?
Yeah, I think it should have been a little higher.
Yeah, just for that last panel, yeah.
It definitely is gruesome, but I tell you, for me, this was a 5 out of 5.
Is it? Okay.
And anybody that says that Tony Daniel can't write, he should tell him to kiss his rear end, because this was something. It was
the thing I found. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is the best thing I've seen him read from him. And I believe, like I said in an earlier podcast, he was kind of like an average writer to me. But this is just like on a whole nother level, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
And I think it's interesting that they talked before this all started. They said the two mythos that aren't going to be changed are going to be Batman and Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
But this story is set, if correct me if I'm wrong, but this detective story is set in the now. This is not 5 years ago, right?
Well, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be in the now.
Okay.
And I've heard them say that all of the heroes are going to be earlier in their careers.
Okay.
So, but this, the way this is done, it makes me think that it's pretty early. Because this is not the same character that was in Justice League or in Justice League International. It's kind of in between, actually.
The thing that got that jumped out of me was the reference that, you know, oh, is this, you know, he was talking about, does the Joker always kill his victims while naked?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, the Batman, if his mythos hasn't been changed, Batman's been fighting Joker on and off for the last 75 years,
right.
And he kind of knows. He's seen him kill a couple people, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, he's never. It was obvious he's never caught him.
Yeah.
Well, and then you got which is evident in Batgirl and in this one, that James Gordon is obviously a lot younger because he's got red hair.
I didn't catch that. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
It's harder to see in Batgirl, but it's jarringly obvious he's younger in this detective.
Was he commissioner? I don't remember. Did he refer to him as commissioner in this or not?
Somebody else might have.
Okay.
Now that you're...
Just curious. I mean, that also helps the timeline, because again, if year one, which by the way is 99 cents on Comixology per issue,
with
year one, which we talked about a few weeks ago
mm-hmm.
with Batman, that he was sergeant in that.
That's right.
that might help the timeline.
I don't think it says one way or the other. He's obviously a boss.
Well, again, might help the timeline.
I'm thinking he is because he's up on the roof using the bat signal. I mean, he's got to be the commissioner at the very least.
That was great. He turned to the bat signal, and immediately there's Batman.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was just a transition of panels that there actually was a Passage of Time.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna in my mind I'm sticking with there was no Passage of Time.
And it's like, yeah, what took you so long? Yeah, I'm thinking he's joking with him.
Yeah, that was a great moment for me.
I loved it. Yeah. And this, to me, this is what Batman's supposed to be.
Okay.
Is like this. I think Murray disagreed with us on that, though.
Did he?
No, he said 3 out of 5. He said it wasn't really his cup of tea, and I think I talked to him on Facebook, and he liked the 60s Batman, so then, you know, obviously this is definitely going to be – I mean, this is a lot – this is closer to Batman Begins and The Dark Knight than it is that, so –
But I'd give this to a new reader. I'm not going to at this point because I wouldn't know quite who to give it to.
Yeah, because it is gruesome.
Yeah, but I would. This is something where I may when I go to the shop next week if they've got some extra copies lying around or
absolutely
earnings, I may grab a copy just to say, oh hey, look what they're doing with Batman today.
Oh yeah, this I loved it. I really did. I was totally floored. This is he's a detective again, and you can hear him, he's like talking in the noir type where he's narrating and thinking about all his steps and everything, and that's the way it should be. The only thing that is freaky is Alfred a computer? Did you get that vibe?
I didn't. I just got the vibe that he was a younger guy.
Other people have asked that same question. Because it's kind of he's made a comment about his something processor is on the fritz, but that might have just been him being a wise ass like he used to be. So
I hope not. I hope he's just the same old.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly with me. Or, if they did it, make it like temporary, there is a real Alfred out there, and Bruce just had to create somebody to help him out while the real Alfred was straightening out some crap in his life. Right. I don't know. I would be disappointed if I didn't catch that, and I'm going to go ahead. And that wasn't part of my continuity.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. I mean, you could get that inference, and then you could not. You can't. It just depends on how you look at it. But okay. – It makes you, it gives you that, anyway.
Okay, well.
Next up on the list is Green Arrow, number one.
Is that right? Yeah. 2 out of 5 for me. I didn't like the script very much. I didn't like the plot. The art was...
Oh, yeah.
The art was okay. It was a pretty fluid story, though. I'll grant it that. This was J.T. Kroll, wasn't it?
Yes.
Lived up to his potential for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Writing wise.
This was a 1.5 for me.
Wow.
I would have given it a 1, but it had great art in it.
That the inks over Juergens pencils was really pretty.
They did the same thing. It was a Teen Titans series, back when Adam was
teenaged.
Yeah, and I mean that was a good run, and it looks just like that. And because of that, it's like looking at a '90s comic. The dialogue was just terrible. Every single cliche that a superhero has ever said in the last 75 years was said by Green Arrow in this issue. If you look through it, it's like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, I have a lot of toys, and the villain's the same way.
Yeah, it was boring for the most part.
It was
supposed to be all this excitement, but I'm I didn't feel it.
No, and it wasn't even close enough to the old. And it's so, just from the little bit I've seen of that character from Smallville, it's the same one.
Is it? Is it just that Oliver Queen from the Smallville? Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
That's
yeah.
It's pretty much it. It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah, so. You're right. He's kind of got the short hair, even like the Ollie.
Yeah, and the Watchtower, I think it was called, where he had Chloe up there doing whatever. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Which, if you like that, that's great. But it just really didn't do anything for me at all.
Yeah, I can't. I wouldn't give this to someone, and I wouldn't. I won't be looking at a second issue. It's gone off the list completely.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. I like Green Arrow. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Unless I see something change, maybe J.T. Kroll moving back to independent comics or something, whatever J.T. Kroll was doing before.
Yeah, I don't I like this even less than the previous run on Green Arrow, to tell you the truth.
Wow. Well.
Some of those were okay, but this was just – this is like eh to me.
All right.
What
did Murray give it? I lost that.
There we go. Murray, Green Arrow. Boring. Boring artwork. 2 out of 5. Yeah, he liked it better than we did.
No, I gave it a 2. I gave it a 2.
Oh, did you say 2? I missed that.
Yeah, for the artwork.
Yeah. That's why I said I gave a half a point for art. And I mean, I love George Perez. So, I mean, that's... Oh, dude. I don't see this lasting.
We can always hope. We can always hope.
Well, I don't know. There might be 100,000 people out there pick that up and, oh my God, it's wonderful. As a matter of fact, I've heard almost all of these selling out, and I don't think that was one of them. But I know Hawk and Dove did. I'd have to look it up.
There's a couple books that did not sell out. Yeah. But for the most part, these were they're all going back for second prints or third prints in some cases.
Yeah,
so.
Justice League's going to be on a third print, which I still find interesting since you can get it digitally, but obviously a lot of people bought it. Okay, enough on that. Next up, Hawk and Dove, #1, with Sterling Gates and Rob Liefeld.
And this performed exactly at the level that I anticipated. It lived right up to its potential of being a 1 out of 5 for me. Actually, you know what? I take that back. It could have exceeded my – it may have even exceeded it. Can I give it lower than a 1? Chris, can I go lower than 1?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, it was crap. It was absolute unreadable crap. Sterling Gates should – like change his name to something else if he's going to continue writing this book, so no one associates with him.
I know he could do better than this too.
Oh God, he has, and he. God,
well,
this is
I mean,
so bad.
It's like reading one of Liefeld's comics from the 90s, which I never was really a big Liefeld fan. There's only 2 facial features here. In the whole thing, and most of them are gritted teeth.
Yes, everyone has. There's a series of panels with Dove.
Yeah.
Where she has the gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Her lips are parted with her teeth there.
And the first villain, what do you got? Zombies? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Even Sterling
not
Gates.
Even good zombies.
No, they weren't. They look like Spawn, actually.
I guess they do.
If I didn't get a free bag and board with this, I probably wouldn't even bag and board this. That's how bad.
Yeah. No. And they go through the trouble of bringing Deadman, who was a huge part of the Brightest Day storyline with Dove.
Yeah.
They bring him in. They don't even explain who the hell he is.
Yeah, I know.
He's just there.
Well, it even said in the solicit, I think, that if Hawk's gonna. Have a problem with her boyfriend, Deadman. But, yeah, they don't even tell who the hell he is.
He's floating around there with her. Doesn't explain that she's the only one who can see him. I mean, it's just the whole thing. Oh god, no. It was awful.
It is. You get Scratchly coming up there, dude.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Okay, 3-2 word. Is it back to normal?
Yeah.
Hold on. Am I back to normal here?
Yep, you're fine.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
That was easy.
And not only are they zombies, but they're zombies with bandoliers. You know, I was expecting them to all be packing great big huge guns, too. And it would be a perfect Liefeld moment at that point. Wow.
I can't believe Murray gave it a 2.
He gave it a 2? Oh, you there?
I'm here.
I can barely hear you now.
How about now?
A little bit better.
Can't go any louder on this thing. How about now?
That's better. Let's see, where is it? Hawk and Dove. Hawk and, oh, yeah, 2 out of 5. Like the original Dove, wasn't forgotten, which is good. And they did mention the crisis. Yeah, I agree. Not the same Sterling Gates as I remember on Supergirl. Ops. Yep, exactly.
You give it?
I gave it a 1.
Hey.
But, you know, since we're going to 0, you know, maybe a -1.
You know, if we ever get Sterling as a listener on this, it's nothing personal, man. You did an awesome job.
I mean, I've liked his writing in the past, but my goodness. I want to like all of these books, but I just can't. That one. That was just, ugh. Ugh.
And this went back, this sold out. This went back for second printing. Maybe they
I think it's just the whole Rob Liefeld back on those characters thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's all nostalgia is the deal.
No, I'm picturing back in the day, Rob Liefeld also worked on Captain America and The Heroes Reborn. He did this for Marvel many, many moons ago. And his work was so lambasted on that they actually asked him to leave the book after.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was 6 issues. Maybe he made it 6 issues.
It's
I don't know.
2, but, I think.
But fingers crossed, we get a repeat of that.
I don't know. I think they cancel it first.
Oh.
They made such a big deal about him being on there.
Eh, well.
All right. Enough of bashing him.
Please, yeah.
Hey, and sorry to go down the negative turn there. I know our positive, trying to be positive is a... Some people have liked that about our podcast, but I just can't be positive about that.
Right, and you know, and our goal is if we're going to steer new people or returning people to books, also got to warn them. We got to give them the warning signals off of stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad I only paid half price for that thing. Oh,
still overpaid.
Anyway. next one. I'll get back to the positive side. Justice League International, written by Dan Jurgens. Written by Dan Jurgens. Aaron Lopresti on the art, and inks by Matt Ryan.
A strong book. I gave it a 3. I couldn't go higher though.
That's what I gave it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to have gone higher. It was a little too paint by the numbers though. As introduced the characters, you know, conflict in the team. It felt a little forced at parts, but it was a solid start. I'm gonna check out the next issue. Batman felt a little shoehorned in.
Oh yeah.
Obviously they wanted him in there for the sales, and I'm sure Guy Gardner will be making an appearance in the next issue. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, even though he took off. Good characters. I'm a big Fire and Ice fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like Vixen. She's always been a character I've been intrigued by. I like the cast of characters. I really do. I mean, and that's,
yeah, I do I too.
That's another thing that pushed it up for me.
I like how they change. I mean, Booster Gold is still out to make money, but he's so much stronger a character than he was before. He's actually has leadership potential. I like how he took charge, even though, you know, he probably doesn't know exactly what he's doing. And it sounds like he's still from the future. He even looks like he's still got the Legion ring. I think I saw that. You could barely see the L on it. So that's good. But yeah, I like it. I really did. Three out of five for me, too.
Yeah, and I like that they really are saying, okay, we're going to use an international cast. So they, I didn't realize that Vixen was from Africa. I actually thought she was an American, but...
I think they changed that. I'm pretty sure she was from America, too. Okay, but I could be wrong. I didn't read that limited series they did of her. Vixen's... that character's never really interested me that much, but...
Yeah, we got a strong character. We got Ice, mm-hmm. we got Fire, we got Rocket Red, August General and Iron, mm-hmm. who's Chinese. Vixen, again, another animal-based character out of Africa. Booster Gold, a guy who came back from the future looking for cash mm-hmm. and ended up being a hero despite himself. Guy Gardner, who's a Green Lantern, so they've got that in there for anyone who likes Green Lantern. And Batman makes more than a cameo in this.
Yeah.
He seems almost like a nice guy here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought that was odd. Which I'm not. He seems a lot nicer in Detective Comics too, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'd go so far as to give this to someone. It doesn't. There's no iconic characters there, which might be a plus for some mm-hmm. people. They don't want to have to try and say, "Oh God, I got to muddle through the Superman history or the Wonder Woman history or something." But
well, we don't really have that right now. So
yeah, we don't. Good point. And that might be cool, but at the same time, there's almost an assumption with some of these characters that we're supposed to know who they are.
I get that. I get that too. So,
I only know Godiva because I was a Super Friends reader back in the day.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I thought she was one of the Global Guardians, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
Okay.
Yes, she was.
That makes sense then.
As we're Fire and Ice, though, they were both part of that, and then Keith Giffen or Jan Mateus wanted them to use some characters from that, so sucked them into Justice League, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So maybe Lightning will strike again with another Global Guardian character.
What does she even do? She wouldn't even want to act like she didn't even want to fight.
Her hair is super powerful. I don't know to what extent.
I see. Okay. Well, that's fine then.
she made an appearance in Flashpoint. I think in the she was in the Canterbury Cricket book, and then I think she was in the Lois Lane in the Resistance book. I didn't pick that up. So
I didn't either. So they're supposed to make collect like two or three series and put it in one book when they collect those.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna wait. Murray liked this more than you and I did. He gave it a 4.
Cool. Yeah.
He likes rock monsters.
Oh, rock monsters. Well, yeah, there you go. Rock monsters.
Yay.
Yeah. I probably would have given it higher if having Batman in there, like you said, it seemed kind of forced.
Yes.
It was just like a big glaring neon sign, Batman is here, that's the only thing. Otherwise, I really liked it. I'll definitely be getting it.
One other thing jumped out at me at this. They made such a point. They have that whole discussion at the beginning of the book about we're going to use people who don't have secret identities.
Right.
And then they present him as an alternative. And it's like he shouldn't have even been an alternative because there is no more secret identity character in the DC Universe than Batman.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want somebody they can control.
Yeah, well... The guy already knew. I mean, they present this new guy that I don't remember his name. The black guy from somewhere from the UN as almost like Maxwell Lord. Like I know what I'm gonna do. I already know the outcome, and they did exactly what I said. What I thought they would do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and he is an intelligence officer, and you know how those go.
Right, in comics especially.
Yeah. Let's see.
Men of War.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. This by... Ivan Brandon, Tom Derenick, and... who else was that? I missed it. Jonathan Van Kien, Phil Winslade. Anyway, go ahead. This is Team Plus.
Yeah, I gave it a 2 out of 5. Okay. I guess I don't like war stories. Maybe that's it. The art was nice. I like the coloring on that first story. The Sergeant Rock story was really nice. maybe it was just, you know, I wasn't a fan of of NYPD Blue, and part of the reason I didn't like NYPD Blue was because there was a lot of that secret language that they used a lot, the cop language, and you know, and a lot of times it would go over my head. I'm not a dumb guy, but it would occasionally be like, what in the hell are they talking about?
Okay.
And I honestly, at some points of the story, I had no freaking clue as to what they were talking about.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, personally for me, it was a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I liked it. It didn't blow me out of the park, but I thought it was a good, solid story. There was action in there. I liked the Rock character. I liked it.
I am kind of curious if this is going to be the ongoing way this book is going to be done, where the first story is it seems to be solidly set in the DC universe, whereas the backup story is going to be more of almost a true war story with no superhero mentions.
I'm not sure.
Okay,
that's a good point.
I actually found the second story a little more enjoyable. I don't know why. Maybe it was just, this is just pure war story where, you know, a couple guys trying to save lives. And
yeah, it was good. I had a little problem with the art.
Okay.
It was a little not as well. It wasn't as good as in the first story. Some of the dialogue I had a little problems with. It didn't seem quite as real. It seemed characters are kind of not quite as three-dimensional. But it was good, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
And Murray gave it a 3.
Mm-hmm.
He found the second story actually cheesy, which I would debate with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as say cheesy, but I didn't think it was as good as the first one, personally.
The nice thing I did like about this book, and again, like I said, I only gave it a 2, was that it was done in one. The first story was done, and the second story is done, and now the next book, sort of like the Jonah Hex book that you were sharing with your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
One story. And I think that's how the Western book is going to be as well, the one that's coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure. I don't remember what they said about that.
Okay.
But that was a good... that was a good way to do it. So,
yeah, and I wish them luck on this. And I don't know if I'll be back. I don't know enough military guys that I would share it with them. I don't know if enough guys are into. I don't even know what kind of reading someone or movies someone would have to be into if they were huge Clint Eastwood fans or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've always liked military stuff.
Okay.
So I really like this personally.
You coming back for issue 2 on this?
I probably will. I'll read it for a couple of issues at least. I'm not sold on it being a regular title for it yet. And since it's got more pages, isn't this one of the ones that's $3.99?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that might be the deciding factor. But I mean, it was good. You know, when you read stuff like, you know, Hawk and Dove, that kind of makes it better.
Can't be in the same shelf, but whatever.
Anyway, on to OMAC by Dan Didio and Keith Given, with inks by Scott Koblish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry if I mangled that, Scott, if you're even listening. But, yeah.
Oh, 3.5 out of 5 for me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I gave it 3. Myself. I mean, it's good. I liked it. The art, is it's really good. But yeah, I like it.
You know what? I'm not a Kirby fan. I like Kirby's creations. I like his stories. I like the way he wrote. But I never liked his art.
I wasn't gonna say that, but since you did, I'll go along with you. Okay. I didn't want to get any hate mail or anything. But I've never really been a big fan of his art either. It's not horrible by any means. It's just not my cup of tea, as I say. Yeah. But.
I know we're sacrilegious. We now have to turn in our comic book fan cards and we say we didn't like Kirby art. But
yeah, I like this though.
Okay, yeah, it was good writing. There was clearly when these two were working Didio whatever and Giffen were working on Outsiders together, clearly Giffen was not participating in the writing. This one. You can sense him on it. There's some dialogue with the co-workers of the Kevin Coe or whatever his name was, the guy who turns out to be OMAC.
Yeah,
they're talking and it clearly it's got that smartass mentality that he seems to engender now. He is the smartass guy in comic books and enjoyed the dialogue, enjoyed the plotting, enjoyed the set pieces. I mean, I like Kirby backgrounds. I like Kirby's sets are really cool. His characters, and then Giffen was aping Kirby in this. I mean, clearly. Give me a Kirby machine. I love Kirby machines.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But those bulky bodies and. Funky women shapes.
There's obviously dark side stuff going on, or dark seed, how you say it.
That's dark side. You're right. Yeah.
And dark side. I think I've heard both, but anyway, that's a dark seed character. But yeah, I liked it. I really did. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think I will too on that one.
Murray loved this. This was a 5 for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. But he likes Kirby, so.
Yeah.
Bully for him.
Yep, on his pull list. Good deal. And next up, we have... Oh crap, I lost the page.
Static Shock.
Static Shock, here it is.
And the other big surprise. This was the biggest surprise book for me.
Ah, well, good.
Yeah. I gave this a 4.
Scott McDaniel, John Rosum, and let's see, Jonathan Glapion, LeBeau Underwood. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I gave it a 4. I enjoyed this book a lot. I never read any of the Static books back in the Milestone days.
Yeah, me either.
I never watched the cartoon. I knew who the character was. I had read Milestone books, and I read Titans for a couple minutes when he was in it.
Yeah.
And and he has enough exposure out there, so people, I know who he is just from that. I enjoyed this. It was fun. It was good. I'm gonna get a copy for my kid. She said she didn't want to read it, but she's getting my copy.
I loved it too. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I'm a big fan of Scott McDaniel, as I mentioned when we first talked about this. He was the main reason I was gonna get it, and I don't know how much he wrote on it. But it doesn't really matter, because it's really good. I mean, I like the intrigue. I'm intrigued about what's going on here. Don't know anything about the characters, which makes it good. The Milestone. That's it. Yeah, Milestone characters.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be good. I really do. And it's like McDaniel's art. I'm just such a big fan of his art. I loved it. I miss him and Chuck Dixon on Nightwing. And there's a Spider-Man vibe to it.
No doubt. This is a teenage character. It looks like he's still in high school. If I'm reading this right,
I think he's out of high school.
Is he out of high school?
Okay. He's interning at Star Labs.
So he's interning at Star Labs, and he's got
19 years old, probably at the most.
He's got a family. He's got a mom and a dad. They just moved to New York City. There you go, Spider-Man. There's the Spider-Man connection.
Yeah, exactly.
He's flying around New York City on his little floating platform, which the Spider-Man used to do with his webs all the time, or still does.
Yeah, and he uses his powers to make that levitate. How that works. So yeah,
he's got these electrical based powers, but he uses them in scientific ways. But
and I love the physics bent, because that was actually my major in college. My first major was physics. So
smart guy. Uh oh.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'm not gonna say anything, because my wife says I brag on myself too much as it is.
Nah, it's cool. My sister, I just met her boyfriend, and he's freaking Buckaroo Banzai. He's a physicist. Oh. He's an engineer. He could be a super spy. I mean, this guy, he's built like a brick house. But so it's okay. You can brag on yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, I really like it. It's really good. I like the family thing is good, and we got the secret lair and the whole bit. It's really cool.
I know. I'm curious. The hardware character, he almost has an Oracle feel, the way he's just sort of in the Milestone days, he was an Iron Man type character. But the way he's presented here is almost like he's a cyber character as opposed to
It's on that graphic when he's in the lair. It says powers technological augmentation.
Okay.
So, I really don't know that much about the character, but yeah.
That's a bonus for this book, honestly. Mm-hmm. No baggage. There is no freaking baggage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. None at all.
And, you know, it's got a great pedigree, and I'm looking forward. I really am.
Yeah, I am too. It's going to be a good one.
Adding to my pull list. I did not have this on my pull list, and it is now on my pull list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And let's see, what did Murray say? He says he wanted to like it more than I did. So he did 3 out of 5. He says he's not sure he's coming back to it. Second issue.
What a pill.
It's, give it to me. You know, give it's to one.
A kid.
Yeah.
It's a kid's book.
Yeah, I would say of any of them, this would be one I would be okay with giving to a kid. Definitely.
More so than Detective or Animal Man.
Oh, good lord, yes. So, okay, next up is Stormwatch by Paul Cornell and Miguel Sepulveda. I don't know. It's Italian.
Sepulveda.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I'm not much on pronouncing names anyway. Okay.
4.5 out of 5 for me. I'm so close to giving this a 5. Mm-hmm. So close.
Yeah.
The art, a couple of panels, a couple of pages, fell a little short, but I like the pacing. I like the dialogue. I like the characters. Mm-hmm. They're not ignoring history with this book. They mentioned that the Martian Manhunter was part of the Justice League at some point. They don't go into it, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives a really good picture of the transition from the old DC universe to the new DC universe. Much better than Justice League, that's for certain.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least. Paul Cornell, for some reason, the guy keeps hitting it out of the park with me. There's something he clicks with me.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've read something by him, it has clicked.
I gave it a 3 out of 5. I mean, I really liked it. Definitely come back. I like the intrigue part of it, and I don't know anything about any of these characters from the Wildstorm universe. Just a little bit here and there. I mean, I know who they are, but I like the idea coming in kind of the ground floor with Apollo and Midnighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that way that ended. So.
Midnighter's a badass. Just takes out all these characters. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously there's the Batman connection there, and a lot like that. But, I mean, that's was kind of the idea when it was a separate universe anyway, so.
These are some badass, powerful characters. And I mean, he takes out the Martian Manhunter with a Vulcan nerve pinch, for goodness
sake. Yeah, I know. That was cool. I have to admit. And I like that kind of stuff. So, it's, you know, kind of like spies and the intrigue and all that stuff. So yeah, I like this. I like it. It's gonna be on my pull list.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sitting here staring at my copy. And,
yeah, me too.
I don't know if I'm a fan of the redesign on Martian Manhunter, making him less human.
You know, at least he's got pants.
That's. Yeah. I like that they're playing with his shape changing powers. I like that Apollo's in there. I like, you know, Jenny Quantum, for goodness sake. Again, I'm a fan of the Authority and Stormwatch, so these characters do have some meaning to me beyond this book. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, some of these other books are some Easter eggs for those of us who read them in the past, but there's no reason why a new reader couldn't pick this book up and not worry.
No, I mean, like I said, I have barely any knowledge of those characters, and it was fine for me.
Biggest problem I had with this book, now that I think on it, I don't know who I would give it to. I don't know who I would share this book with.
That's a good point.
I don't know if it would be a good entry point for anyone.
Somebody that hasn't been reading comics in a while, I guess, maybe, that used to read comics.
You know what? You're right. Maybe somebody – it might be a good one for someone who has read comics. Yeah. As opposed to with Action or with Detective,
mm-hmm.
Or even with Static Shock, someone who was brand new. This would be good for returning or right. Someone who hasn't. Yeah, okay. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Now I know who to share it with.
Yeah. All right. We're at the last one. Swamp Thing number 1 by Scott Snyder and Yannick Paquette.
3.5 for me.
Okay.
It took a little while to get to the point, mm-hmm. but this book has some history for me. I enjoyed the old Alan Moore stuff. I am intrigued that they've basically split Alec Holland from Swamp Thing. Spoiler, 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 spoiler. But that he, you know, something about him, he still has a connection to the Green.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty. It was a good looking book. There's no doubt about that. It was very nice looking to look at for me. Did that cameo, the Superman cameo, was pretty funny to read, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got this normal guy who's just like, not at all impressed. There's a guy, mm-hmm. Superman, is floating above his head, and he's like, "What do you want?" Mm-hmm. What? Basically, just like irritated by Superman showing up in his life.
Right. Right.
And they don't. Again, once again, they don't ignore what went on before. They've just moved past it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for me, this is pretty much the first Swamp Thing comic I've ever read. I think the entire way through. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Last Swamp Thing too.
Yeah. Well, I was actually kind of intrigued in the fact that they show Batman and Aquaman and the birds and everything, and Superman being there, and he's obviously he respects this guy, mm-hmm. and he's. You get to, and he almost even says it. He came there to check on to see if he was the cause of it. I mean, that's what he's there for. At least that's what I got out of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm intrigued. I mean, Scott. I'm a big fan of Scott Snyder, as I said. I probably would mm-hmm. give it lower if he hadn't written it. And it's actually interesting enough. I might just check out the second copy. Or maybe read a trade of it later on, after I hear what everybody else thinks. But it didn't really do that much to me, for me, other than that. Well, it was interesting.
You know, this is going to be tied – they've said – I read this on mm-hmm. Facebook – that this is going to have some direct ties to Animal Man and vice versa.
Yeah.
And this also had, again, like Animal Man, and this is probably why it didn't impress you as much, it had a Stephen King feel to it.
Ah. Well, there you go. I'm just not a horror fan in general.
Well.
So, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
And this definitely had some horror in it. Those guys' necks.
Oh, yeah, that was freaky.
Walking around. Yeah. That was freaky.
That was freaky.
It's some, again, for me, it's some pretty visuals. And I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll check out number two.
Yeah.
Will I go past number two? We'll see.
Yeah.
If I found someone who I would give Animal Man to, I would give Swamp Thing to. I might even get someone who used to read like the old Vertigo stuff.
Right.
I might hand this to them as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it does have that Alan Moore-ish feel to it.
Yeah, and well, that's another. Most of the stuff I read from him I really liked. I haven't read any of that stuff, so I didn't have any frame of reference. But I mean, it intrigued me, but it just didn't grab me or anything. So yeah, like I said, 2 out of 5.
It sounds like you're being generous just out of loyalty to Scott Snyder. So.
Well, I mean, his writing is good is the thing. And that, like I said, if he hadn't written it, it probably would have been a lot lower. So.
Fair enough. And our buddy Murray, he gave it a 3.5 out of 5. He didn't feel like it was a rehash of Alan Moore's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was suspenseful. And it's a horror. I mean, you don't like horror? Yeah. You're not going to like this book, period.
That's pretty much it, yeah. I agree.
Because it does have that whole suspense leading up, and then there's the, like we talked about, there's the whole zombie heads flipping around thing going on there, and
mm-hmm.
bugs flying in people's mouths. Blech.
Yeah.
Birds, dead birds, et cetera. So, Overall, it was an impressive first week. 3.2 averaged out for me. Mm-hmm. Dragged down by Hawk and Dove. Dragged up by Stormwatch and Animal Man for me.
Yeah.
And a surprise from Static Shock for me. I did not think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. Detective, I didn't think I was going to enjoy as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Batwing certainly surprised the hell out of me. I think we go back and listen to my original podcast, man.
Yeah,
I was gone on that thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure until I read it because Jed Winnick. Usually, I'm okay with some of his stuff. Sometimes it just doesn't hit me, but I did like that. Not as much as I thought I would, though. But yeah, it was good. So.
And there's some good books to to pass on to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that, they succeeded. They didn't succeed 100%. You know, not all 14 books are books that I would share, but mm-hmm. there were a couple that I would either get rid of my copy because I have no need for to read it again, or I would go out and buy another copy for someone else. I'm glad for that.
Or a digital copy even.
Or a digital buy the spend the $3 and go on Comixology if someone's got a laptop or a tablet and share it with them. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So on that front they succeeded.
Yeah, I'd have to say, yeah. Good. Overall not bad. So what do we got coming up next week?
Oh god, next week's a pretty full week too, isn't it?
Yeah, let's see. You got Batman and Robin, Batwoman. Oh, I hope that comes out. I hope it does. Deathstroke, Demon Knights, Green Lantern, number one, Grifter, Legion Lost, Mr. Terrific, Red Lanterns, Resurrection Man, Suicide Squad, Superboy. Yeah, that's a pretty good week.
Couple I'm looking forward to, couple not so much, but I was surprised. If they can pull it out on a couple of those books like they did here,
mm-hmm. absolutely, good.
Hey, I trade emails with you on this, and I really want to make a point. We've been focusing a lot on DC.
Yeah,
not a problem there. You and I are clearly more DC centric guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there are books coming out from Marvel that deserve. Some talking about. You had mentioned a couple.
Yeah.
And I mentioned one in specific that I wanted to talk about. We can either do it tonight or unless you want to save it to next week.
No, let's do it.
Okay. For me, the book that's coming out right now that is from Marvel that's really grabbed me is Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a storyline called Spider Island where somehow the people in Manhattan are starting to manifest Spider-Man type powers. You know, webs and jumping, sticking to walls, spider sense, the whole gamut that you know, think of when you think of Spider-Man powers. It's a fun story. Dan Slott is writing it. Alberto Ramos is drawing it. It's just fun Spider-Man stuff. And it's a big crossover. They're tying it in to all these other books. The Cloak and Dagger's in there. Mm-hmm. Master Kung Fu, The Avengers. But unlike other things where there seems to be, you got to read all these crossover things, absolutely no need. I'm not looking at these other books. And when I have, I read The Avengers one, the one shot. It was fun, but it was just, it was like, we're going to use the Spider Island concept and to use our Avengers characters, maybe get a little boost in sales for the Spider Island story using the Avengers characters, which are always hot, but unnecessary. Dan Slott has got a great self-contained book going on there. I don't read Spider-Man. I haven't read Spider-Man in years. Mm-hmm. Something about this jumped out at me. It started in issue 666 of Spider-Man. I think it's running 6 or 7 issues total.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out 3 times a month. It's unfortunately, it's at $3.99 an issue, I think, but well worth it. It's a fun book. I think it's day and date digital, if I'm not mistaken. If it's not,
I think they all are now.
Well, there you go. So you got that available to you digital. I'm actually going to give my copies to someone.
Cool.
To someone who's never read comics, because they know who Spider-Man is because of the movies. Dan Slott has just really nailed it here.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I'm really not. I never was. I would read it here and there just because you're supposed to as a comic book fan.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, you're supposed to read Spider-Man, you're supposed to read Batman, you're supposed to read Superman, and I kind of always did. Never cared. And this, he's got me hooked. So that is my pitch for a Marvel book for this week.
No, I understand. I started reading the Spider-Man – because I've been a big fan of it for a long time. I stopped at one point, but I started reading – I got real cheap trades when Brand New Day started, and I've been picking them up at then, and I'm probably like a year behind. But they're doing a really good job with that, so I'm sure that's really good. Dan Slott is one who wrote – writing a lot of it, so yeah, that sounds like a good book to get.
I recommend it.
I'm looking forward to it when I get caught up. You
know, yeah, and let me note that I do read Ultimate Spider-Man. I mean, not anymore. I kind of stopped for a while, but I did for a long time. So on and off, I've been a Spider-Man fan, but not in the regular Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only caveat there.
Makes sense.
Sorry.
Well, let's see. The one I've been reading, and I've said in the past, I'm a big Mark Waid fan, and they restarted Daredevil from number one, and they put Mark Waid in charge. And I have to tell you, I really like it. It's on my pull list, so I'm getting it every month. There's only been 2 issues come out so far, but it's been really good. The art's really good. They got Paolo Rivera, but it's just it's great. He obviously knows his character. It's got a swashbuckling kind of feel to it, but I'm really enjoying it. And if anybody's a Daredevil fan, I haven't read it in a long time, it might be something to pick up. Because I mean, it's Mark Waid. Like I said, he's my favorite writer.
I love the whole thing where he's like, I'm not, you know, at a certain point in the past, I guess it was revealed that he was Daredevil.
I remember
he's
that.
Having like, he's like, no, I'm not Daredevil. And he's constantly having, I mean, it's like every 5th page, like, I'm not Daredevil.
I'm not Daredevil. Exactly.
It's a funny, almost ongoing joke in the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I agree. It's on my read list. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell. I mean, if you read that, you can see how intelligent that his Waid's writing is. I mean, it's just really good the way he paces things, and the artist really picks it up. So it's definitely good stuff. Definitely good stuff.
A good use of the villain too, the one they brought in, the Claw.
Oh yeah, Claw, yeah.
Not the Claw, but just Claw, who's a sound based villain, and Daredevil's blind. So mm-hmm. it's a good. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know if they're normally a hero villain combo or not, but.
It seems like they are, but I don't remember. I'm not really, to tell you the truth, I'm not that heavily versed in Daredevil. So, some of the other Marvel heroes, well, Spider-Man I am. I read it for a long time. But Daredevil I'm not, so I'm not really sure.
And there you go. What a testimonial. I mean, from a guy who's not a Daredevil fan,
mm-hmm.
who's now hooked on a Daredevil book.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I tried it because of Mark Waid, but I really like it, so I'm going to keep reading it. So
that you can't, for again, the purpose of this podcast, what's good for new readers, you know, mm-hmm. what's good for returning readers. This is a book, if, like you, I'm not a Daredevil, I'm not versed in Daredevil much. I've read the Frank Miller stuff,
yeah,
and the Elektra stuff that came out many moons ago,
yeah,
but that's it for Daredevil for me. And this mm-hmm. I don't know squat about the current history of Daredevil, but Mark Waid, he brings you up to speed without you making you feel like he's shoving it down your throat.
Right, right. And he went bad for a while, but he got better, I guess. Which, you know, I've talked about making heroes bad and how I don't like that. But but anyway, the other one I'd bring up would be the Punisher. They restarted that series again, and this time they got Greg Rucka on it. And he was the one that created with
what? Not Matt Fraction? Wait a minute, that's the other book. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
no, it's Greg Rucka. He was supposedly going to quit comics and do his own stuff, so they must have paid him a lot of money to come on board. And the first issue, it had two stories in it. The backup story had dialogue, but the first part of it, no dialogue whatsoever. It's all pictures. It's very different. It was a little hard to follow, but it was still really good. I enjoyed it. I've got the second issue. I haven't read it yet, and I think the third one is out, but I haven't. That's still on my DCBS order, so that's probably one of my last comics from them. Just switch fully over to the local shop. But that's about it. That's a good one too. Hopefully they add some dialogue and it's a little easier to follow. But Greg Rucka. I've always liked his work, so I'm looking forward to reading it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm actually reserving. I'm actually gonna trade that one. I admit it.
Yeah.
I was gonna pick it up. I was looking forward to it. I still am.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're gonna wait for the trades.
Yeah.
Because it will be traded. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When we use the word trade. It means they're going to collect it up into books. So.
Yeah, we can go into that more in another podcast, talk about some of the glossary of terms of what we use. So
trade waiting, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's about all I got. Is that it for you?
I got nothing else except that DC's I'm reading some of the dialogue or some of the conversations on Facebook. And on the message boards, and a little surprised at the negative tone that's coming out of it, because I found it a very positive change.
Mm-hmm.
Not just from the point of view of this podcast, but just from a point of view as a longtime fan.
Yeah, and the difference being that the stuff that we're reading is from longtime comic fans, so that might have something to do with it. We are not exactly known for liking change, so
we fear change.
Yeah, exactly. This is a good thing, and it seems like you agree, Caleb. But a lot of people, they disagree. But it just depends on your cup of tea, I guess. But yeah, that's about it, though.
There you go. So again, for the week, the only book that we say avoid is Hawk and Dove, but everything else, it seems like there's an audience, there's a target audience that they've got there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, if you miss the old '90s stuff,
oh, there you go.
That might be okay book for you. So I'll put a positive spin on that. If you're missing the 90s, the comic 90s, or you didn't read comics in the 90s and wondered what it was like, and you don't want to have to go through back issue bins, pick this up, and then you can see what you didn't miss. So there's a positive spin right there.
Because, boy, that boy has not grown, has he? Okay.
No.
Sorry.
No, at least the chests were – well, we won't get into that. Okay. But anyway, that's about it for us.
I got nothing else. Hey, I appreciate you. Everyone who's listening, everyone who's commenting on the Facebook. It's really cool to see we're getting feedback.
And our website as well. Murray's commenting on both. He's put several comments today because he's catching up on episodes. So he's our faithful listener. Thank you, Murray.
Thank you, Murray, and thank you the other people. I know there's a couple other people that I know we had intended on bringing on tonight, but hopefully you can drag them in next week. Chris got a couple people sucked in, and we were hoping to get their input, but we'll share.
Yeah, that's scheduling conflicts, but that's okay. We'll get it worked out. So,
okay. Cool. Well, again, thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah. And good night.
Good night. Are we out?
Hold on.